Ernest Hemingway tells the story of a father who kicked his son out of the house. His son had been rebellious. His son had not been obedient. And so he kicks the son out of the house, doesn't want to see him again. Well, the son goes to Madrid, Spain. Doesn't know what he's going to do, so he decides that he's going to take up bullfighting, a profession that most likely is going to lead to his death. And his father hears about this. His son is taking up bullfighting, and while he is really upset with his son, he doesn't want his son to die. So he decides he's going to make a last-ditch effort to try to save his son. And so he goes to Madrid, Spain. He doesn't know how he can get in contact with his son. He can't find him if he just walks the streets. And so he puts an ad in the newspaper. And he says to his son's name was Paco, "Paco, meet me at Hotel Montana on Tuesday at noon. All is forgiven. Love, Papa." He doesn't know what's going to happen. Tuesday rolls around. Noon comes, and to his surprise, 600 Pacos show up, all hoping to find the forgiveness that they desperately want, hoping to return home. Because when you've burned all your bridges, when you're at the end, when you've spent all your money and everybody's left, when you're down to rock bottom, what are you left with? Returning home. Returning home. That word return is a powerful word. In Hebrew, it's the word shuv. Say that with me. Shuv. It's used several times in the book of Hosea. And the word, basically, it doesn't mean to adjust course. That's not what it means. Ever so often when I'm driving, going to a certain destination, I will miss my turn. I know that surprises you. But ever so often I'll get talking or I'll get thinking about something or doing something else, and I'll miss the turn. Even though I have my phone and I have a GPS and all that, I will miss my turn, or I'll get confused on where I'm going, and I get lost. Well, being the savvy and resourceful person that I am, in those situations, what I like to do is to try to find a way. Can I just adjust course? Can I just keep going on this road and maybe make a couple extra turns, take a little detour, and still get to the destination that I'm trying to get to? It'll take me a little bit longer, but I'll still get there. Can I just adjust course? And sometimes I can do that, but most of the time, the best course of action, the right course of action, is for me to stop, make a U-turn, and I hate it when Siri says, "Make a U-turn, please." But make a U-turn and get back to the right path. That's what shuv means. It doesn't mean adjust course. It doesn't mean keep going and try to make a detour. It means make a U-turn. Turn around and come back to the right path. It's a companion word to our word in English, repentance. And my favorite way of demonstrating or illustrating the word repentance is through a little demonstration. And I've done this before in my sermons, but it's been a while, and so I want to do it again. And I want to invite up Carter Fitch to help me with this demonstration. Carter is a seventh grader here at Southside. It's kind of hard to believe he's in the seventh grade because he's about as tall as me. But he really is in the seventh grade. So Carter, here's what I want you to do. Is I want you to walk across this stage, be a good model for us, and when I say the word repent, I want you to turn around and walk back, okay? Ready to go. He's looking good, doesn't he? Repent. Very good. Isn't he a great model? All right, let's stay right here. That is what repentance is. Repentance is when you're going the wrong way, and you decide that you're going to stop going that wrong way, and you're going to turn around, and you're going to start walking the right way. It's not simply stopping. It's not simply turning around. It's stopping, turning around, and beginning to walk the right way. And I think that's a good illustration for where Israel was, because Israel had been walking away from God. Go ahead, do it one more time. Israel was walking away from God, chasing other idols, and God is saying, Shuv! I taught him that trick earlier, okay? He's saying, Shuv, turn around and start coming back to me. Return. Do a 180-degree turn and come back to me. You've deviated from the path. You've taken a wrong turn. You've taken the wrong exit. Shuv. Return home. Thank you, Carter. Let's give him a round of applause. And Hosea comes alongside of Israel and tries to help Israel return home. He explains to Israel, you're going to have to say some words to God if you're going to return home. Confession doesn't equal returning home. But returning home always involves confession. And so Hosea says to Israel, you're going to have to make a confession, but let me help you. This reminds me of our youngest child, Lydia. A few years ago, when we would have our family devotions, she would get a little bit tired, and when it became her turn to pray, she would say to me, Daddy, can you help me? And so what we would do is then I would say the first line of the prayer, and then she would repeat that line, and then I'd say the second line, and she'd repeat that line, and third line, and she'd repeat the third line. We'd do all the way until the very end of the prayer. And I kind of feel like that's what Hosea does with Israel. Hosea says, you need to make a confession. Can I help you? Here's the first line that you need to say in your confession. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to say, forgive all our sins. And here's the second thing you need to say, Israel. You need to come before God humbly. You need to say, and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. And here's the third line that you need to say, Israel. You need to acknowledge your sin before God, and you need to ask God to help you recommit your life to following His way. And here are the three sins, Hosea says, that you need to acknowledge before God. Number one, that you trusted in Assyria. Number two, that you worshiped military might. And then number three, that you were devoted to idols. You need to say that to God. And then fourth, Hosea says, you need to put yourself in the hands of a merciful God. You need to say, for in you, the fatherless find compassion. Because when you have run far away from God, when you have deviated from the course, and you've burned all your bridges, the only hope you have is to place yourself in the hands of a merciful God. And Hosea says you need to do that. And then God speaks. God speaks to Israel. He says, Israel, if you'll return home, here's what I will do. Scholars have noticed that in the confession that Hosea prepares for Israel, there are seven parts. And when God speaks to Israel about what He's going to do, there are seven parts. God says, Israel, I will heal you. Israel, I will love you freely. Israel, my anger will be turned away. Israel, I will give dew to fall upon you. I will rain upon you and nourish you. Israel, I will answer you when you call upon me. I will care for you and help you. And I will give you fruit. I will help you to be fruitful. And the whole point of all seven of these items is to tell us that God is good, church. And when His people return home to God, God is good to them. And God says, not only that, not only am I going to be good to you, but I'm going to cause you to be a blessing to others. He said, I'm going to cause the dew to fall on you, and then what's going to happen to you is you're going to become like a lily. You're going to become like a tree, a cedar tree of Lebanon. Your roots are going to go down. Your shoots are going to go up. And you're going to grow so tall and wide that people are going to want to come under your shade on a hot summer day. Scholars have noticed that the words that God is using here are very similar to the description given of the Shulamite woman in Song of Solomon. Lily, cedar, shade. And it could be that what God is telling Israel, that if you will return home to me, I will make you into the faithful bride that I've always wanted you to be. And the question that I have for God in this text, why? God, why are you offering this? Israel doesn't deserve this. Israel doesn't deserve you to do all these wonderful things for her. Israel doesn't deserve to be made into this beautiful bride. Israel doesn't deserve this offer of confession that Hosea is giving. And especially, Israel does not deserve an invitation to come home. We have spent the last 13 chapters of the book of Hosea detailing all of the ways that Israel has trampled upon the heart of God. We have spent a whole 2 months walking through how Hosea describes Israel as a prostitute who is adulterous before God. Why would God end this book with this beautiful call and this beautiful invitation of saying, come home? The place where Hosea should have ended is Hosea chapter 13. Because in Hosea chapter 13, God gives 5 different descriptions of how God is going to bring judgment on Israel. And they all begin with D, which I like as a preacher. Number 1, he says Israel's going to die. Number 2, Israel's going to disintegrate like smoke going through a window. Number 3, Israel's going to be devoured from a raging lion. Number 4, Israel is going to be destroyed. Number 5, Israel's going to be devastated from a military invasion. I mean, that's the way the book should have ended. The last verse of chapter 13, it says, they will fall by the sword, their little ones will be dashed to the ground, their pregnant women ripped open. I mean, that's what Israel deserves. That's what they deserve. They've betrayed God. And why would God close this book by telling the adulterous woman that Israel is, Shuv, come home. I'll be really good to you. I'll bless you. I'll make you into a beautiful bride. Return home. And the reason is because the heart of God is bigger than we've ever imagined. And the love of God is deeper than we could ever fathom. And the mercy of God is wider than we could ever comprehend. That's why. That even though God's heart has been trampled by the people that he loves, his heart still beats for his people to come home. And so he says, Shuv. The picture of God in Hosea is not of a God who is mean and angry and ready to judge people. The picture of God is of a father standing on the front porch, looking down at the horizon with his arms outstretched, saying, come home. Come home. And that message is not just for Israel. That message is for us. Because God wants every person here to shuv to return home. And for some of us, returning home is a big thing. Because we've gone a far piece away from the Lord. And we've gotten involved in all kinds of terrible things. And for us to return, for us to turn around just like Carter did and start walking back to God, it would require a lot. Have to give up a lot of things. Change our habits, change our thoughts, change our friends. Change our pattern of living. It would take confession and repentance. Require a lot. But even if you feel like you are far away from God this morning, the message is still the same. It's the Father on the front porch saying, come home. But there are some of us this morning that returning home to God is maybe not a big thing, but more of a small thing, but no less significant. Because each one of us during the week, we find ourselves making wrong turns, right? We find ourselves taking the wrong exit and going into the wrong place. We don't mean to do it, but we just see ourselves slipping from time to time. And I feel like that Sunday, a part of Sunday, is coming together as an assembly and remembering who we are and hearing the call of God again to return home. We've deviated a little bit off the path. I need to get back on the right path. That's what Sunday is. It's the regular practice of returning. Confessing sin, repenting of sin, and saying, Lord, I want to be home with you again. And for those of us who are in that situation, the message is still the same. God is on the front porch with his arms outstretched to you and to me, saying, come home. Come home. The truth is that all of us here this morning, whether big or small, great or little, we all need to return home to God. Because too often we have gotten involved in addictive behaviors like drugs or alcohol or pornography, and we need to return home. Because too often we have gotten spiritually lazy and complacent in our discipleship, in our walk with God, and we need to return home, church. Too often we have made decisions in our life based on fear instead of walking with Christ by faith, and we need to return home, church. Too often we have judged people by the color of their skin and profiled people by their race, and we need to return home. Too often we have worshipped, just like Israel, military might and trusted in governments instead of trusting in God, and we need to return home. Too often we have been just like Carter Fitch, as he was up here, walking away from a God who loves us and cares for us and is concerned for us, and we need to return home. Today is the day to return home to God. Amen? This past Tuesday was a special day, not just because it was Halloween, but also because it was Reformation Day. And some of you might not know what Reformation Day was, but it was the 500th year anniversary of when Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the wall of a church in Germany. And what that means is that there was this preacher named Martin Luther, and he felt like that the church had deviated from the path that God wanted them to go. He felt like that they had taken the wrong exit several times, and they were far away from the destination that God wanted them to be at. And he felt committed about that it was time for the church to shuv. It was time for the church to return home to God. And he felt like there were 95 grievances, 95 ways in which the church had deviated from the will of God. And so he wrote down all those 95 grievances, and in 1517, he nailed it to a church in Wittenberg, Germany, declaring that it is time for the church to return to God. And that started this whole trajectory of people opening up their Bibles and going back to Scripture, trying to understand God's will for their life and for the church, and trying to be more faithful to him. And I feel like today, as we conclude this series of Hosea, and we've walked through seeing how Israel broke God's heart and how we've done it as well, I feel like the way we end it is to do a similar kind of thing, to search our own hearts and try to see, do I have certain grievances in my life? Are there certain areas in my life where I have deviated from the will of God? And it is time for me to take those grievances, to take those issues, to take those sins and nail them to the wall of my heart and say, Lord, it is time for me to return to you. I'm tired of walking away. I'm tired of not being in touch and in walk with you, and I'm ready to return to you. Your arms are outstretched for me, and I'm ready to return to you. And so I've prayed this morning that you would return home. And we're going to have ministers and elders surround this auditorium. We're going to sing a song. And if you need to return home, if you need prayers, if you need to confess sin, if you need encouragement, I encourage you to walk to one of those men, let them pray over you. If you want to be baptized into Christ, be added to the church, we would love to welcome you into God's family. God's arms are outstretched. In fact, his arms were outstretched for so long that they're eventually nailed to a cross. All with this simple message, return home. If we can help you return home this morning, please come now as together we stand and sing.